episode number 159. And Juan Soto is a New York Met.
He did it. Steve Cohen, he came through on his promise. He did it.
15 years, $765 million. Not only is this the largest contract in baseball history, it's the largest contract in sports history.
Which is crazy. Sports. Although I will say, because I did Pete Rinaldo's 2-year deal with
The Saudi.
$215 million a year is crazy. What?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So the winter meetings already underway. I'm home, so I have to hold the microphone and then look like Sean McDonough doing an open. But anyway,
I got lucky. I still got my stand.
Yeah, I gotta get a new one. I gotta get a new one of these because I can't be holding this.
Christmas
shit.
Is coming around.
Yes, it is. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Winter meetings happened. A lot of moves. Stove's getting hot. A lot of rumors rolling around.
It's gonna be a crazy offseason.
So do the Mets. Max Fried is a New York Yankee. 8 years, $218 million. Garrett Crochet, Boston Red Sox.
Real good move.
Yeah, I like the move. It's unfortunate, but I like the move. The move a lot. We will also go through the Tucker rumors, Sasaki. Willy Adames is a San Francisco Giant. Good start for the Buster Posey era.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't had
San Francisco.
They haven't had a 30 home run hitter I saw since Barry Bonds. And he hit 30 home runs last year, so that might be their guy. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I did not know that.
Crazy.
Holy shit. Then we got some other coaching news. The coaching carousel is underway, and Bill Belichick
is going to
Chapel Hill.
How is that going to work? Can this man
Chapel
really
Bill.
Can he really Chapel Bill. How's the recruiting process going to go? Can he really do media day pictures? I don't know how this is going to work.
I don't know. How is he going to do media day pictures? Someone tweeted, we have a real possibility of Bill Belichick getting dunked with mayo in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And now I want that to happen.
He might kill someone.
Oh, my God. The bracket's out. The bracket is out. I feel like the committee got it right.
They did a good job. I will say yes. They did a great job.
I feel like the committee finally got it right, putting SMU in over Bama. We will preview the first round games happening on the 20th and the 1st. If you want our predictions, that's next episode. NBA, Jimmy Butler. Miami's looking to move him. A lot of teams interested in him. Well,
Golden State?
I think it's Golden. I think it's absolutely 100%
night,
Golden
I mean,
State.
Ridiculous last night what happened to them. But
insane.
Bullshit.
Jimmy
Butler can help out. I also saw LeBron, which is crazy to me. That would be insane. They're hunting LeBron. They got their eyes set on him.
Yeah, they got their eyes set. Then the NHL, they finally did it. The Rangers finally did it in two aspects. They finally traded Jacob Trouba to the Anaheim Ducks. It became a disaster, but whatever. But in result to
worse
that...
Worse than Barkley Goodrow.
Yeah, It was bad. But in result of that, we extended Igor Shesterkin. 8 years, 11.5 AAV.
Chris Drury did a hell of a
great job.
Completely cleared the cap. I cannot believe Anaheim just took that up 100%.
Well, because here's the thing. I think can get into this later.
I think so. I know exactly what you're saying. Retain 50, flip him to a playoff team. Yeah, I know. I see that happening.
Yes. Okay, so let's just dive right into it. I said this to Tim before we hit record. This is the first episode of the Juan Soto era.
Woo-hoo.
The New York Mets.
And they're not done.
They're not done yet, which is... also frightening. 15 years, $765 million. The Yankees went up to $16,760. I've heard a lot of it was the Yankees all the way. And then Steve Cohen came in like Stone Cold Steve Austin, helping mankind win the WWF title. And then I've heard the Yankees were far behind in the bidding process. Didn't know that they were far behind in the bidding process. 760 was their final offer, and then he just went with the Mets. I feel like from my point of view, I feel like it wasn't a he didn't want to be a Yankee thing. I just felt like wherever the money was, he was going to go. If the Miami Marlins offered him $765 million, I think he'd be a Miami Marlin.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, and
there's absolutely nothing wrong with
that. If you look at the way the Mets' entire contract structurally is broken down for him, they have a 5-year opt-out clause. So if it doesn't work out in 5 years, he can leave. But if he does opt back in, his salary actually raises to like $52 million per year.
So in reality, this is an $800 million contract.
Yes, which people are going to say that's insane. But again, you have to understand the net worth of Steve Cohen. He's worth $21.5 billion. This is like really nothing to him. And he made it very clear this offseason he was going to go out and get whoever, you know, for how much, for however. Yeah. So he's doing a good job so far.
From a fan's perspective, me being the Yankee fan, I'm more upset that he's gone rather than on the Mets.
I would agree. Yeah, it makes sense.
I feel like the only team that he would have gone to where I would have been like, oh my God, like this is horrible. The Red Sox. If he went to the Red Sox and I had to deal with him on the Boston Red Sox for the next 15 years of my life.
Brutal.
I would have – brutal. Absolutely brutal. But he's a Met. Yeah. Nonetheless, completely different league.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. If you're a Yankees fan, take that away. He's going to the NL. He's out of your league. He's out of the position.
He's going to the NL, number one. And number two, this doesn't really affect the American League. You're still sort of the favorites to win the American League. And also, this shows the fact that the Yankees' final offer was leaked. It was sort of to their advantage.
Yeah.
Because it shows all these other players and free agents, hey, you were going to give one player $760 million. Now you have money to spend. You can sporadically give that away. And they already did. They started doing that with Max Fried. They were doing it with Christian Walker. And then talk sort of cooled off a bit. And we can get into the Fried signing in a little bit. But let's just stick with Soto here. The lineup, it's a feared lineup. It is a pretty feared, it's a pretty feared one too with Soto. And then with the rise of Mark Vientos.
Dude's an all-star.
Like,
and you know the Mets are actively trying to shop Starling Marte, who's making $20 million.
And like the funny thing is, I really like Mark Vientos going into this year.
How could you not?
Even without Juan Soto,
how could you not? And people, you know, I saw on social media, and not Yankees fans, but just MLB fans alone, talking about why Mark Vientos. Why are we even talking about this guy? He wasn't getting hot until September. If you look at his OPS,
his lowest OPS was
in September. This dude's been, he was hot the whole year. He's
Googling is not hard.
It takes 2 seconds. And the Mets lineup is deep, deeper than it was last year. You get rid of JD Martinez, they could still get another DH bat if they want. Ronnie Mauricio is now doing baseball activities. That's possibly your starting second baseman going into the season. I'm very high on him. They're actively waiting for Pete Alonso's contract to, because again, they haven't really
set. What's the deal with that?
Well, they haven't really, from what I'm understanding, is there's no real set.
No one's market.
Yeah, there's no market set yet, so the Mets are waiting on him. They're looking into Christian Walker. They're looking at Nolan Arenado. They got tabs on all these guys. For me right now, what I want to see happen is sign Sean Manaea. Get Manaea signed. Yes. Then you start working on the rotation
because
more.
That rotation right now.
Not great. I know. The Mets, for
You have our bullpen sloppy seconds as your number two starter.
Yeah, well, we got two of your bullpen sloppy seconds. We got Jonathan Weisiga, too. I don't know. I mean, they're just going.
No, he just re-signed with the Yankees.
Oh, we re-signed someone else in your bullpen. Who was it? I'll look it up. But
looking at Loaiza, I don't think that they were.
Maybe they didn't re-sign him. But either way, it's just the rotation right now is what? It's Senga who's coming back from what we have. Probably Peterson at two. You sign Clay Holmes. I don't even. Is McGill in there? And then Blackburn. I mean, you really got to go. You got to go out and get. Exactly. You got to go out and get.
You got to get someone. But now we're hearing things. Fried just signed with the Yankees. The Mets are out on Corbin Burns.
Which is smart. I'm okay not getting Corbin Burns. Well, Eovaldi just re-signed. I was kind of hoping we could get him. I know I'm keeping tabs on Jordan Montgomery. I'm not super high on him, but again, it's just a veteran arm. It's some guy who can give you innings.
They took his option, I think.
Oh, they did? Well, I saw a trade. So. Well, I saw either way it was a trade option that they were going to get him anyway, because they're trying to shop Beatty. I saw Beatty's on the – I mean, everyone knows that. Beatty's on the market to get a pitcher. Yeah, duh. I don't know where they go from here. There's a lot of options. I mean, I don't see any like super superstars coming in as a rotation guy for the Mets right now, but I could definitely see some middle of the road
guys.
Because if you sign Manaea and Senga comes back, you already have a lethal 1-2 punch as people don't want to
admit. That's a good one too.
That's a really good one too. Peterson had a fantastic year. If he could build off that, if he could just do the same thing, that'd be great. So now you have another dominant lefty. It's really those two back guys, and you know Clay Holmes is getting that fifth spot, so who could take the fourth? We'll have to see, but yeah, you got to get Manaea first. That's first
Who
thing.
Knows?
First things first, get Sean Manaea. But I'm loving the Mets right now. I love what Steve Cohen's doing.
I'm still like, reality has kind of like set in for me. Because like everyone's like, how could he go to the Mets? How could he do this? I'm like, here's the thing. Steve Cohen has more money than God.
Yeah.
All right? The Mets are going to be a pl- the Mets are going to be in on every big free agent now. Like, every it's just single the reality guy. That we live in.
Mm-hmm. And you know
it's
what?
It's the reality that the we New live York in. Market and is into also, it. You can't say that Hal Steinbrenner cheaped out. They went way out of their comfort zone.
100%.
Offering that guy 700.
100%. Hal Steinbrenner put it, you know, he put the foot to the pedal and was like, I'll give you as much as I can. But Steve Cohen, again, he just has the money. Yeah. He came out
but
on top.
Again, it just felt like, Yankees went 760. All right, I'll go 765. If the Yankees were able to match 765s, I just feel like Steve Cohen would be like, all right, I'll go 800.
Yeah, and for me, Soto is – think of,
Steve Cohen – honestly, Steve Cohen just straight up said ball up top. Like, that's
– but he made that very clear going into this offseason. Yeah. He said, I'm going to outbid anyone, so it doesn't matter what you offer him. I'm going to give him more
this
money.
This is the same man that lost his goddamn mind over not signing Steven Matz.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out Peter Murray lost his goddamn mind about – he broke his phone because we didn't sign Steven Matz. That's
we don't talk about that enough.
Dude,
we do not talk about that enough.
What is Steven Matz even doing now? Is like a fifth guy in a rotation?
He's still on the Cardinals. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
Who knows? I mean,
he's still on the Cardinals.
Exactly. We don't know what's up with Steven Matz.
I just want to throw back to a Brody Van Wagenen tweet. I believe it was Brody Van Wagenen. It could have been. I don't know. It was a tweet highlighting the new Mets that they got. And I believe Brody Van Wagenen was like, oh. Look at what we have. Look at what we got for the new year. And my God, was it the worst group of people that I have ever seen in my life.
It's a throwback. Stan, I remember when a big signing with the Wilpons was Jed Lowry, who didn't play at all.
Here we go. Brody Van Wagenen tweeted on Christmas Eve 2019, Happy holidays, Mets fans. We are excited to have these new faces as part of our team for 2020. Let's go, Mets. These people are... Michael Wacha.
Oh, I remember Michael. 4-year-old Wacha. Yeah.
Who sucked. Yeah. But then became like a formidable guy, having like a career resurgence with the Royals.
Yeah.
Rick Porcello.
Jesus.
Dylan Betances, who did not throw a pitch for the Mets.
Yeah, he was a hell of a spring training guy, though. He had a few good throws. I remember watching a spring training relief outing with him. He went in for like two innings. It was great.
And Jake Marisnik.
Yeah, no, there was some the Wilpons era is over. If you're a Mets fan, you could just pray to God. This is like if it wasn't before, you know, the final nail in the coffin. This Soto signing really just completely turned over a new leaf.
But now, how do you feel National League wise? Like, is it sort of like
the National League is never going to be easy? All right, we still got to deal with the Dodgers. I mean,
the Braves.
Like, Braves are getting healthy. The Phillies are always going to be competitive. Like, the National League completely has done the 180 from what the American League has been from the past 5 years, past 10 years. I mean, they're now the dominant league, and to compete in a dominant league like that, you have to get dominant players, and you get a future Hall of Famer in Juan Soto with the Mets. I mean, it adds so much to this team, and people can knock him for his defense all you want, but you know what, like. The Mets defense right now, they signed Jose Siri, I saw a Dominican League video of him. He tried to throw a runner out at from center field. Oh my God, he threw like 65 feet. He's a great, he robbed the home run. He's a great defensive outfielder, so they're building off that. I saw they're willing to move Marte. You get bats. This team can hit. They showed that last year. They can pitch. They have to add more, obviously, but they're going to be a lethal team, and they're the second favorite to win the World Series now. So rightfully so.
There are many few people that I'm happy for that are Met fans getting Juan Soto. Tim, you are one of them.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it because I don't like to be an asshole when things happen. Like, the Yankees get a big signing, like Max Fried. Congratulations. I will say I have questions for you. Yeah, I have a few questions for you.
I have questions as well.
Questions
if you saw the TikTok that an Instagram reel that I made when they signed Soto, and our editor slash my family member, my cousin Matt, when I sent him the video, he's like, "You're doing this while like not making Soto video."
It's hard,
fucking
yeah.
Wild.
You got to do what you got to do.
And I go, "I wasn't inspired." And then when Soto signed with the Mets, I became inspired.
Hatred's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, hatred. And it's like, I don't even like hate the guy, but it's just like.
He played his cards right. Scott Boras, he did last year. Phenomenal job so far in this offseason. He played his cards right perfectly. People are saying that they played the Yankees last year.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. But I'm just saying, they're saying that Soto played the Yankees for a year just to get. No, Boras did the perfect thing. He waited to sign this long-term extension. He waited for the market to be where it is. And look what he got.
He had a piss poor offseason last year. He's definitely trying to prove to people, like, I still got it.
Like, he represents half the league. He should still have it.
Well, yeah, he should still have it. Yeah. All right. Let's go to free to the Yankees. 8 years, $18 million. The largest contract for a left-handed pitcher in baseball history. Fourth highest paid pitcher in baseball history. There's a lot of questions.
Length. Length of the deal.
Contract length is definitely a worry. There were rumors that he was going to get a 7-year deal, and people were like, oh shit. And then it cut, and then maybe like 5 minutes later, Passan's like, oh yeah, 8 years.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing for me. I mean, the Yankees, you add to this rotation, on paper, is fantastic. Obviously, you need Rodon to step up a little more next year. He was dealing with injuries, so yes, he'll be back. But they needed to make a move. After losing Soto, they got to make a statement that we're still the Yankees.
They needed to.
Yeah. It's a statement move, really. I mean, I know, obviously, he's a great player, and you got a fantastic left-handed pitcher. Is it a little bit too much money? Yeah. Is the length a little bit too long? Yeah. I mean, you're going to...
First 3 years are going to be... I'm just worried. Because here's the thing.
Well, here's what I saw. You get to 2029, you're dealing with 37-year-old Gerrit Cole, who you still have on contract. You have 34 Max Fried, who's still on contract, and 36-year-old Carlos Rodon, who's still under contract. So you're going to have some aging pitchers. Now, it's the MLB, so obviously you could pitch till you're fucking 50. Who, you know, I mean, we saw it with Pettit, we saw it with Verlander, we're still seeing it with Scherzer. Yeah. So you still rely on these guys. But for me, asking you is, are you really happy with this deal, or are you more just content that they made a big move?
My thing is, I forget who said it, but Michael Kay said it. He was quoting someone else. If you're being rational during free agency, you're going to finish third every time.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's a move that they had to make.
It's baseball, this is the difference between every other sport in baseball, is that you got to overpay. You have to pay guys.
Yeah, have to.
You don't have a choice. This is the world we live in now.
Yeah, but I feel that he's a great pitcher. Don't get me wrong. The postseason worries me a little bit.
I would. He was not great against the Padres.
He's got a higher postseason ERA than Clayton Kershaw.
And
now, granted, more games, but still. And then he does kind of struggle to stay healthy.
Yeah,
he struggles to stay healthy, which is, again, like I can be happy. I can be happy that we have Max Fried, but I can see a lot of ways that this can go wrong really quick.
Yeah, and for me, again, it's not an overreaction from the front office, but it's a instant reaction that needed to happen. They needed to put the wheels in motion. And this fills a hole you needed. You needed a starting pitcher, so you overpay for one, but you get a great one in that asset. You're going to have a great 3 years. Like you said, it's going to be a great 3 years with him to start. After those 3 years, it's, well, what do we do now, you know?
We can chuck up some prayers. What is this? I feel like what this means for the Yankees rotation. Well, now Heel, Schmidt, Stroman, Nestor could be on the move. One of those guys could be on the move. Possibly two.
I think you move Heel with how much value he has now. I think you move him to get can you get Alec Bohm for him? Like, can you make a deal like that?
Well, I'm not trading Luis Heel for Alec Bohm. Come on now.
Oh, no.
Stop.
I don't know. That'd be a good third baseman.
There's a lot. Maybe Kyle Tucker.
I can see that happening too.
And this is how we leeway into our Kyle Tucker conversation, because what's next for the Yankees? Like, this is, and it seems like Kyle Tucker's like the big move here that you not necessarily have to make, but it could certainly help fill that Juan Soto void.
Yeah. And
now I'm seeing guys like Brandon Tierney, who are, you know, die by the sword Yankee fans, being like, Kyle Tucker is a better baseball player than Juan Soto. No, he's not.
No. His stats are great. His stats are fantastic.
However, he's up there with Juan Soto. And to be honest, one of the sneaky winners of this Juan Soto contract is Kyle Tucker. He's on a contract year, and he just saw Juan Soto just make $7 million.
Well, with him, and I don't mean to bring it back to the Mets real quick, but that signing for the Yankees, that helps Sean and I out so much. That resets the lefty market completely.
It does. It absolutely does. Yeah, but the Astros are looking to move their expiring contracts.
They're rewriting the ship in Houston. I don't know how that's going to look next year.
Kyle Tucker's one of them. Framber Valdez also on an expiring contract. So here's what we're hearing Kyle Tucker wise. From what I've heard, also Hot Seat YouTube TV, they just upped their prices.
I saw NBA stream NBA people viewerships are down like NBA viewerships down like 12%, 13% this year. Amazing. Yeah. People are saying, attributing to attention span from the younger. No, it's because you have to pay for 11 different streaming services to watch two
Bring
different games.
Back cable.
What? Why? Why would we get rid of it? Why would we get rid of it?
Make cable great again.
I never thought we'd be saying this from how crazy Netflix took off like 10 years ago. But now we're back to, you know, history always comes back to itself. And now bring fucking cable. I'm sick of this. I'm so Gotham Sports out the window. Leave them.
Gotham Sports sucks. And I am the first one to say it. I'm trying to watch a Knick and a Ranger game while I'm at school. And I'm a whopping 2 minutes behind. It sucks.
You're better off going on an illegal streaming service because at least that'll be closer to the game.
You are absolutely better off watching the game on streamies. It is fucking bullshit how terrible Gotham Sports is. And I'll be honest, the Yes app was pretty good. MSG Plus was meh. And I don't know.
SNY is still good. I'll give SNY their flowers.
SNY's app's pretty good too. But here's the thing. If you're a fucking hockey fan, you're almost better off getting a VPN and setting the location to Arizona, going on ESPN Plus and watching the Rangers through there.
Like, I'm the lucky son of a bitch who goes to school in Massachusetts. I get every game. So I get lucked out, but I am done dealing with Gotham Sports. I'm not even a Knicks fan, and I just like watching basketball. I try watching a Knicks game. I can't even load it. It just won't load.
It's the worst. Now to Kyle Tucker. Apparently, so the Astros want Luis Gil in a package for Kyle Tucker, which is fine. Astros also need corner infielders with Bregman likely going. So Ben Rice is definitely an option as well. The Cubs, the Cubs have the leverage over the Yankees because they have major league ready bats. Seiya Suzuki is in talks. Isak Paredes, whose swing is made for left field at Minute Maid Park. I apologize. I forget what it is now.
Bring back bring back the hill in center field. I want to see guys tear ACLs trying to catch balls over there.
Yeah, but Isak Paredes is made for the Crawford boxes in left field.
Well, let me ask you this, because the Cubs are obviously in on Kyle Tucker. They're trying to move on from Cody Bellinger. Is Cody Bellinger more realistic option for the Yankees than Kyle Tucker at this point? Because my whole life, he's deserved to be. I mean,
he's just been a Yankee.
He's been a Yankee. Everyone's known that. He's been a Yankee his whole life. So I feel like that's the move they make next. I feel like you're going to get a Cody Bellinger. And you know what? That could be the career resurgence he needed, because if you go back to 2019, this guy was he won MVP. He was the best player in baseball.
This is a former MVP. Here's the thing. At the same time, though, Josh Donaldson was a former MVP as well. So.
True, but you got him at like 38 years old. So, I mean, what do you want me to do there?
We'll see. But I seriously think that Tucker – I'm hopeful that we get to Kyle Tucker.
Okay, let me ask you this, because this is way off the board. Are you willing to move Luis Gil and like a Jazz Chisholm for Kyle Tucker and something else, like another big move there? Because they're trying to move contracts. So are you willing to make a big move for a corner move, a good corner infielder?
I wouldn't. Well, because they love this Caleb Durbin kid at second base. So if we move, I wouldn't mind that.
I feel like it's a possibility. And
I wouldn't necessarily mind it.
I'm not saying you're going to get Framber and Kyle Tucker, but if you do an overhaul.
Ryan Pressly?
Yeah.
It's a nice bullpen arm. It's a nice high leverage bullpen arm. And plus, if you put Luke Weaver into that closer role per se, you can kind of Swiss Army knife Luke Weaver if you get Ryan Pressly. You can throw him anywhere.
Yeah.
And if Presley's not having – it's not his day, and then you could be like, all right, fuck it. Let's just put Luke Weaver out there.
It gives you expandability. And I think, again, the Yankees are trying to make a big splash. They have to let it be known. Obviously, this is the first – with the signing of Max Fried, this is the first move they're going to make of, I think, a ton. I think this is an offseason now where they kind of got to reestablish themselves as the Yankees. Because right now, I mean, you lose Soto to the Mets. It's the first time ever the Mets –
But the last time that, like, Brian Cashman sort of, like, reestablished himself, they're like, yeah, we're the fucking Yankees, was when we lost out on Robinson Cano to Seattle and got Ellsbury, McCann, and Beltran. And look how that worked out.
Yeah,
so
okay. Fair enough. But you moved – but Cano – I mean, Cano's not Soto. Let's
– True.
The Mets had Cano. The only time Cano was hitting the ball is when he was on fucking PEDs.
I love how he became just, like, a big joke now, Cano. Like, every time Robinson Cano gets mentioned now, we're laughing our asses off.
You want to know why I'm laughing my ass off? I'm laughing my ass off at the same people who say Trevor Bauer should be in the MLB. Have you looked at some of these Mexican League stats?
Fuck that guy, man. Like, come on.
Pain in the ass, first of all. But Robinson Cano's batting 450 in Mexican ball. And you're telling me a guy with a 286 in the Mexican Leagues deserved to come to the MLB? Are you kidding me? No.
Yeah, but, like, come on.
I just look, the Yankees are going to make a ton of moves. This is the first of many. Are they going to get Kyle Tucker? Are they going to get Cody Bellinger? We're going to have to wait and see. I think this offseason is going to be nuts. But a big trade that already happened to a guy that I guess not trying to one-up the Yankees, but getting Garrett Crochet is kind of a big deal for the Red Sox.
I will leave. There's a mixed crowd amongst like Red Sox fans and like just baseball fans in general. Like, okay, like if you see him from the eye test with Garrett Crochet,
he's unbelievable. I've watched, he shut up the Mets. I mean, he
strikes guys out. We have to remember here, he's originally a relief pitcher. The White Sox drafted him as a closer and then transformed him into a starter.
Jacob DeGrom is drafted as a shortstop.
That is true. Yes. But it is a work in progress. If we look at the stats here,
you can't tell much from the stats. You can't, because the White Sox fucking
suck. But this is just like the pitching metrics. Garrett Crochet led the league in strikeouts per nine innings, ahead of Chris Sale, ahead of Tarek Skubal, ahead of Sonny Gray, who struck out a lot of guys.
Wouldn't believe it, but Yankees legend.
Yeah, thanks Rothschild, you piece of shit. If you just like predict like the future performance, FIP, he's ranked ahead of Chris Sale. He's ranked ahead of Tarek Skubal. And then if you look at FIP, he's third behind the two Cy Young winners.
Yeah. No,
it's a good pickup.
He's a phenomenal pickup. He's an ace. He's a legit ace.
Yeah. We'll see. Like, that's the thing. We'll see. And now here's the thing, too. He's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that John Henry likes a lot.
Yep.
Cheap guys.
Cheap, efficient guys.
But if we look at the White Sox side of things, they got a haul, man.
You know what, though? And this is, I mean, how many times are we going to say this? They got a haul for Chris Sale. That didn't work out. I don't know what their plan is. They're horrible at managing prospects. I don't know what Luis Robert, I don't even know why he's still there. I don't understand that.
I don't understand teams that want him. Like, I really don't.
For the price that they're asking, it doesn't make sense.
The Red Sox traded away Kyle Teal.
Shout out, Jersey boy.
Top 50 prospect. Brayden Montgomery, top 75 prospect. Chase Meredith, Weikelman Gonzalez.
Yeah, they gave up a haul. But you know what?
I pray that I'm saying that right.
The Red Sox have a good farm system, and they were very much open to moving assets this offseason. And you know what? They made a splash. They needed a starting pitcher. That was the clear problem this season. Their lineup was honestly good.
Like, my point of view is, if you believe in Garrett Crochet, if you're a Garrett Crochet guy...
I am. He shut out the Mets.
This is a light return. Like, this is like...
Yeah.
It should be much more than four prospects. But if you feel that, you know, the record's not there, the ERA is high, then maybe this is the right return. We have to see.
It's hard to gauge anyone really on the White Sox because, again, they're so bad that it's like he was 6-12 last year, right? They had how many wins? 33?
Yeah, they had 33 wins. So the win record thing is meaningless.
They had more than a sixth of their wins this year as a starter. Like, come on.
Let's take a look at the possible rotation. We have Garrett Crochet, Tanner Houck, Brian Baio, Cutter Crawford, and one of either Richard Fitz or Cooper Criswell.
I don't think they're out on Corbin Burns. I don't. I still think they're in on him.
I think that they're in on Corbin Burns. I don't think Corbin Burns is in on them.
Well, a team that is in on them.
Seattle. Corbin Burns could definitely benefit. I think he could. Honestly.
If he goes to Seattle and Seattle moves a pitcher to Boston, and now we're looking at something like that.
We can pivot to the Giants here because I think that Corbin Burns is a Giant. I think he is. Here's the thing. He's from California, played baseball at St. Mary's. Like, there's some sentimental feel to it. And also, Buster Posey is ready to spend. Buster Posey has done more in the 2 weeks that he's been president of baseball operations than Farhan Zahidi has done in his 6 years there.
Yeah. Yeah,
I am loving Buster Posey as this front office guy.
And then this is kind of...
Probably because I was a big Buster Posey guy when I was a kid.
Who wasn't? But now we're everybody loved him. Buster Posey's starting off with a bang. A great move. They needed to get a guy like this because they just need a competitive lineup. But for me, Buster Posey in this situation, it's very hit or miss. This could either be a Patrick Ewing in fucking Georgetown or...
With who? Burns or...
No, I'm talking Posey. I'm just talking Posey right now.
Posey, okay.
Because you can't fire him.
You cannot.
You can't. I mean, you just have to ask him to leave. So it's like, yeah, Patrick Ewing, what are you going to do? It's like, this isn't working out. Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Grace. So speaking of the Giants, they sign Willy Adames, 7 years, $182 million contract.
That's a pretty good deal.
Incentives, or was it 200? Or no, 182, but incentives sort of make it 200 million. Tim, I'm going to read you a list, and I'm going to name some names on this list. Shortstops in the last four seasons that have hit 20 home runs and have gotten 20 or more home runs and 70 or more RBIs in each of the last four seasons. Are you ready for this list?
Yes.
Willy Adames.
I figured, yeah.
End of list.
Yeah, he's got a sensational bat. He really does. He's been very consistent for a long time. And again, this is a piece that the Giants needed. They got to start getting more big name guys. It's such a hard market in LA right now with the Dodgers to even compete. So,
and here's the thing.
Got to start making splashes.
Will the power translate at home? Because San Francisco is a tough place to hit.
Yeah,
but at the same time, Adames was also hitting in a very pitcher-friendly – playing his home games at a very pitcher-friendly ballpark at American Family Field. So
– I think he's just one of those guys who has a swing that it really doesn't matter. He's just a guy that will find a way to get on base. Again, what did he hit? 30 home runs last year, 100-plus RBIs.
I believe so, yes.
He's an RBI bat. You could bat him three. You could bat him two. You could even bat him four if you want to. This gives them lineup depth, which they're very much needing. I mean, they're kind of struggling. They haven't had a good shortstop since. I mean,
Brandon Crawford. And also, if you think about it, this is like a steal if you're the Giants. If you're 100%. Only paying him.
That's what I'm saying.
$172 million. What was it? Because here's the thing. He was a lot of teams' plan B if they didn't get Juan Soto.
And it came
and
out before
the fact
Soto.
That he signed before. And if he signed, the fact that you get him after or before Juan Soto signed, number one. If teams got him after, it would have been a massive overpay.
Yes, 100%. It's a lot cheaper. Everything's a lot cheaper before you Juan Soto signs. 100%. Yes.
But defensively, you got one of the best defensive left sides of the infield in the sport with Matt Chapman at third and Willy Adames at short.
Mm-hmm.
I like this signing. I'm big on the Giants this year.
Why not?
And if they can get Corbin Burns, they can get a lethal 1-2 punch with Burns and Webb. So I like it a lot.
Why not? Yeah, why not?
I like it a lot. All right. Whew. 35 minutes nearly talking about baseball.
That's a lot of baseball. There's even more we can talk about.
We don't even have NFL football on the topics here, which is
shocking. Nolan Arenado dropped six teams. He's waving his no-trade clause for. I mean, we could keep going for hours about this. This offseason's going to be crazy.
I'm so glad we're not in on Arenado.
I don't know where he's going to end up.
I could see it like 3 weeks ago where it was like Soto's going to sign with the Mets. And we're going to pick up Nolan Arenado.
This feels like a
press conference. Brian Cashman's going to be like, our analytics department is the greatest. I'm the greatest. Our fielding coaches are the greatest. I'm still the greatest ever. Suck my dick. Fuck you.
What's that Seinfeld clip where he's like, my stats guys were telling me to get
Ken Phelps. All right. Let's go to some college.
Real quick. I want to know what you think. Just one. Give me a one team answer. Where does Nolan Arenado end up? I think it's the Padres. Now you tell me where.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yeah, that can
just
make
for
sense.
The memes.
Yeah, it can make
just
sense.
Just for the memes. Because Arenado said he'd play first base, and you gotta give a nice battery from third to first. Think about it. Rendon to Arenado?
It'd be lovely.
Also, I can kind of see the Mets because Brandon Nimmo needs a MAGA buddy.
Yeah, I mean, anything can happen. That's why Pete Alonso can come back.
Nimmo needs a MAGA buddy.
Get the Florida boy back. He's fine.
All right. Real quick, coaching carousel. Chapel Bill. Bill Belichick is the University of North Carolina. I feel like once it was revealed that he was being interviewed, it was just like, they're going to do this.
I just didn't think. I was not expecting it to be UNC at all.
There's some sentimental value to it.
I understand that. I just
dad
didn't,
coach there.
I just didn't expect him to make a move to college at all. He isn't a college coach.
But we'll find out. Well, here's how they're selling it. How they're selling it is if you want to play in the NFL.
This is a pro-ready program? Yeah.
This is a pro-ready program. And what better person to develop you than one of the greatest coaches ever?
So, yeah. Okay. That's the same thing BYU is selling with basketball. Okay.
We can get to BYU. Here's the thing. I think this is a master. Danny Ainge is putting on a masterclass right now with the tank job that he's doing in Utah. Because you have BYU, his alma mater. You have all the NIL money coming from the Utah Jazz. You also have NIL money coming from the Phoenix Suns because the former assistant coach of the Suns, Kevin Young, is coaching BYU. So you got the Matt Ishiba's money coming in. Also, if you're AJ DeBanza, what better way to develop pro-wise than a guy that worked with Kevin Durant?
Exactly, your idol. I mean, like, come on.
Come on now. And of course, also, PSA to college five-star recruits everywhere. Do not announce your commitment on First Take, because they are all casuals when it comes to college basketball. Ooh, well, it's Stephen A. Ooh,
no, I'm sorry. They're casuals when it comes to every sport. They don't watch sports.
Why wouldn't you go to Duke or North Carolina? You know? He's like, and then DeBanza was like, who said BYU can't compete with Duke?
Yeah.
And I'm with it. For me, give me DeBanza.
Now that we're talking about First Take for a minute, the only guy that really I'll take any analysis from, with a grain of salt, obviously, is Mad Dog. Mad Dog's like the only one I can say that honestly watches sports.
You're right. He may be high half the time watching him, but still.
Yeah, well, that Frank interview was hilarious. Yeah. If anyone watched the Tank Walks, those are awesome.
I cannot wait for the Tank Walks with Johnny Fanta. Oh my God.
I'm so excited. I cannot wait. I watch all of them. I've seen every single one of them.
Have you seen the guy? Did you see the video? The clip from the Spaces talking about the Crosstown Shootout. For those who don't know what the Crosstown Shootout is, it's the big rivalry. It's actually happening on Saturday. Cincinnati and Xavier in basketball. Some like nerdy Cincinnati fan called. He's like, oh, how's it feel to not put Xavier in your power rankings? That must have hurt. And he's like, no, it didn't. He's like, well, you're a Big East guy. It must have hurt you. He's like, no, I don't lose sleep over it. Just like he goes, and I'm losing sleep over you. The only things I lose sleep over are if I pick up the right groceries for my pregnant wife, if I take out the trash on time, and the Cleveland Browns. And now I'm losing sleep over you. And then the guy goes, happy Thanksgiving, Johnny. Have a good one. He just goes, no, you don't get to salvage the call. Fucking greatest.
No, it's going to be fun. For anyone who doesn't watch Tank Walks, I really recommend watching this next one, or any of them, honestly. Get eased into it.
The Francesa one was awesome.
Great. It's great. And now that we're talking Frank Talks, because he is very inspirational. He is very...
We're getting very off topic here.
Yeah. But very Frank the Tank, for what he's done, has been very inspirational. And he was on this podcast, so I'm going to give him his flowers.
Yes, he was.
I'm going to give
him bring him back, because that's like one interview that I could have done differently.
We'll get that back. But I mean, he lost 60 pounds, 70 pounds already from Frank Walks.
Just from walks. Like, no, I mean, just diet, but
they,
still, like,
no, I'm saying they, but like from when he started the walks is when they started. Like they started. It's been 70 pounds, which is a year in. Now it's great.
Real quick, since we're on the topic of DeBanza, did you see that story from his visit to UNC? Well, first of all, he went to the UNC Alabama game in Chapel Hill, and he literally he secretly signed his letter of intent with BYU. Like, he just showed up just as
free
a formality.
Free trip.
Yeah, just for the free trip. But this is the article about DeBanza and his visit to UNC. This is according to CBS Sports as well. North Carolina pitched him a vision of being the next all-time scoring superstar to wear Tar Heel blue, following in the footsteps of Michael Jordan, Vince Carter, and Jerry Stackhouse. This is where it gets insane. They referenced how Zion Williamson's net worth skyrocketed by choosing to play at Duke instead of Clemson, laying out what one season at a blue blood did for his career in advance of being drafted by the New Orleans Pelicans, including a shoe deal upward to $50 million before playing in an NBA game.
NIL money is crazy.
If I'm a UNC fan right now, I'm sick.
What kind of pitch is that?
Our main recruiting pitch is to talk about one of the best players from our rival school in the past, like, 10 years. I love it.
It's not even the rival thing. It's literally, you pitched money. You pitched money.
Hubert's got to go. Fire that guy.
You pitch money.
Fire that guy now. And if right now, I'm telling you right now, UNC's 4-4. They're unranked. Cooper Flagg is getting better every day. Baby. Oh, baby.
It's just, listen.
Oh, yeah.
Duke's going to be good.
Makes me feel special.
Go Ducks.
All right. Back to Bill Belichick. Are we seeing more of a Are we seeing more of like, hey, UNC is going to be a threat in ACC football?
No, I think this is strictly player development.
Okay.
I think that's what it is.
ACC is a weak conference, if you really think about it.
But again, it takes a little while for you.
Clemson just
I know, barely. But you've seen this before. I mean, there's no immediate turnaround. Look at Bama. You know, it's
yeah, true.
You know, you don't just immediately flip a program like that. It'll be good, though. It'll be good for player development. They'll definitely get some more.
It would be
some more guys. I mean, look what Colorado did. So if you could pitch player development, you can get anyone.
All right, let's go to the bracket. We're only going to preview the first round games. We're not making any official predictions. That's for next week's episode. So let's just dive right into it because we're already 45 minutes in just talking about college football. Indiana, Notre Dame. This is going to be special.
Smash mouth from one side.
Smash mouth football. Well, first of all, this is a fun stat that I saw. This is the first time that any network, or not any network, that NBC has not broadcasted a Notre Dame home game since 1991.
Wow, that's insane.
Ridiculous.
How many
years? It's absurd.
That's like 33 almost, years?
33, 34 years.
That's crazy.
Something like that.
That's crazy.
Insane. I think the big thing here is the run game. The run game is definitely something to watch. Indiana, first in run defense in the country. Notre Dame, best rushing offense in the country. Now, here's the thing. Indiana, albeit great story, Coach Sig has got the boys, they're grinding over there. They haven't played a run attack like Jeremiah Love.
No. I hate Notre Dame. I made that very clear.
I don't like him either. I like Marcus Freeman.
It's where we grew up. I can't stand the fake.
Fun fact, everyone is a Notre Dame fan in Pearl River, New York.
No.
Because they're all Irish.
Everyone's a Notre Dame. Let's go Irish. No one knows anything about college. I'm so sick of you. I'll see it on stories. Yeah. I'll see people like, oh, the Irish are good. You haven't watched the game since 08.
I'll say this. When I was in fourth grade, I fell for the Colt.
Yeah, I never did.
There's a Manti Te'o jersey hanging on. If I look to my right, there's a fucking Manti Te'o jersey hanging in that closet right now.
Mariota grabbed my neck with both of his hands and was like, you're a duck.
You remember that reporter who was Crystal Ball coaching at the time?
I don't remember.
Was it Mario? Who was coaching Oregon at the time? I want to say it was Mario Cristobal. Let's see. It was not Mario Cristobal. Who was it? Head coaching.
Was it Helfrich?
It must have been, because that's all.
It has to be.
Let me find where they
are.
Here we go.
Are you talking about the one where it was like
oh, yeah, Mark
Jesus
Helfrich,
girls
yeah.
And...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's three things that we think about at the University of Oregon. Jesus, girls, and Marcus Mariota.
I mean, rightfully so.
I love how, like, that, like, if that were said nowadays, like, that'd get praised. Like, literally, like, the PR director had to be like, I apologize.
Ugh.
Insane. But anyway, I think Notre Dame sort of has this. I can expect Indiana, because here's the thing with Indiana. Indiana is, like, a person working a 9-to-5 that loves their routine. Indiana loves to play tough, and the one time that they were out of routine was the Ohio State game. You look at the botched punt. Literally, the punter dropped the snap, like went right through his hands.
Couldn't go worse.
And then it felt like after that, they just didn't respond. If Indiana's able to play, like, they just can't, they have to play to their game plan. They cannot fall into Notre Dame's game plan. I'm not making an official prediction right now. But what I will say is, if Jeremiah Love is able to
get past this run defense, it's over. Well, and Indiana's a lot like the Hawks, right? You know, like, if you're a basketball fan, they remind me of the Atlanta Hawks. Like, they'll win some big games. They'll do their job. But when it matters, no.
But like,
come on.
I mean, their one big game that they played didn't really end well. Like, that's where I'm...
Yeah. Well, I will see. It's a biggest stage. I mean, no one knows. Notre Dame is a history of choking, so who knows?
We'll see. SMU, Penn State.
I want
Can James Franklin win the big game?
No, he can't. And I really want SMU to win. I really do. But Penn State's so much more talented than them. It's not even close.
I'll be honest. I think Penn State has the easiest path to the semifinals.
It's not this is part of the reason this bracket's a little annoying. But again, it's like March Madness. What are you going to do? Like, this is how the things line up. But like,
March Madness is perfect, and the fact that they want to expand it is bullshit.
Yeah, well, I don't want to expand it. I'm just saying, like, you'll have like a one seed play like an 11 and like a 9, and then, you know what I mean? Like, they'll play like
the 8-9,
yeah,
and then they'll play the 4, and then,
yeah. But it is what it is. Again, Penn State's just a better team. SMU is a hell of a football team. But yes. Am I going to say that Clemson is better than Penn State? No. So I don't think this match is
SMU.
I mean, that Penn State game was close. I don't think Clemson's as good as Penn State, and they had that game close. So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Expect a lot of points in this. Two very high-potent offenses. Penn State's new offensive coordinator, I'm blanking on what his name is, but he has done wonders for Drew Aller. And I literally walked away from that Penn State-Oregon game being like, wow, like Drew Aller might be that guy, despite them losing. But like he was making plays. I was like, holy shit.
I mean, again, we'll see with this game. But like we keep saying, these like first matchups are not. Like,
yeah, they're not.
Maybe it'll be 1-1, but I don't know how much you can like keep winning.
This one I'm excited about. Clemson, Texas. There's a story to this.
Anyone but Texas.
Cade Klubnik and Quinn Ewers literally played each other in the high school state championship in Texas.
Who won?
I don't know. I think Cade. Or was it Quinn? I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember who won, but still, there's some. And now here they are, fast forward years later, they're playing each other in the college football playoff in Texas.
I mean, you're probably not going to agree with me, but I want to see Clemson win this game.
I wholeheartedly agree as well.
Okay. I hope we're on the same page here.
I love that Dabo is like in the playoff.
Me too.
Because here's the thing.
And he gave and props to him for giving his flowers to SMU after that game, because they rightfully so.
Man of God. He's a man of God. Come on now.
Jesus girls and Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, it's the holiday season. He's in the giving spirit. Clemson loves being doubted. Like that's sort of been the theme of Dabo.
Last year, rightfully so, but
last year, rightfully so, yes, wholeheartedly agree. But again, as Dabo said, if Clemson's a stock, you got to buy in right now.
Why not?
I'll just say this, like, when it comes to Clemson, because like when Clemson sucks, the Dabo shtick like doesn't work.
But when they're good,
when they're winning, you feel something. You're like,
I'm motivated. Let me
get
like going.
You're motivated. Here's the thing though with Texas. Texas does what Clemson should do. And that's recruit homegrown guys. You're going to recruit homegrown guys that you're going to recruit guys that are going to stay all 4 years. But also, you're going to go get guys in the portal, and you're going to go get big time players like Isaiah Bond, like I'm blanking another wide receiver. Whatever, you get what I mean.
I know what you're saying. Yes,
Texas uses the portal. Clemson doesn't. Texas does not allow explosive plays on defense.
No, they do not.
Which is a benefit for Texas because Clemson needs an explosive play.
But we could flip that and say the Texas offense right now kind of so
yeah.
Are we looking at a low scoring game here?
I think we see a low scoring game. But here's the thing: do we see Arch Manning?
That's a reasonable question. That's a reasonable. We can raise these questions. How's the first half going to go? We'll see.
Yeah. I feel like the first half of this football game is going to tell the story. If Clemson's able to keep it within one possession, we're like, oh, fuck. Like,
they got a shot.
It's like 10-3, 10-7 Texas at halftime.
If it's 10-7 Texas at halftime, Clemson's winning this game.
All right. Phil Maffa may be banged up as well. Clemson's star running back, but we'll see. Last but not least, Tennessee, Ohio State. A lot of mixed expectations right now.
If Ohio State loses, because first off, going into this season, the expectations were through the roof for them. This was like, when you don't win.
I have a future on them.
Yeah. And then,
I have a future on them on the whole thing.
This was if you don't win this year, it's kind of a disappointment. So we'll see.
You follow me on Twitter. A pinned tweet of mine for a while was like all my like futures bets and win totals. If Ohio State doesn't win the national championship, I'm like 0-8.
Hey, things happen. Futures bets happen, man. Things happen.
Well, like, shit got in the way. Like, I mean, like, they were all good reads, I will say.
No one's knocking you. I mean, it's just how sports work.
So, yeah, it's how it works.
Ohio State's winning this game, right? I mean, let's...
Well, we'll see. I mean, here's the thing.
The pressure, for me, it's the pressure. It's the pressure for them. If that gets to them, then...
Well, you think back 2 years ago. When they lost to Michigan on their home field, they don't play in the Big Ten game, and they just squeak into the playoffs, and they were sort of like, all right, we're just playing with house money right now. And then they played probably their best game of the year against Georgia. Now, granted, if that kick was through, we could have been looking at a Michigan-Ohio State national championship – or no, sorry, TCU won that game.
Yeah, but I know what you mean.
We could have been looking at
–
An Ohio State national championship, yeah. Tennessee's the least talked about team in this playoff, I feel like a lot of guys are talking about
Vols.
And people can say talking about. People can say SMU. Well, they got in over Bama. Of course they're going to be talked about. There's a lot of raw talent in that Tennessee locker room. Iamaliava, raw talent. The receiving room, a lot of raw talent. I could see this game being high scoring, but I can also see this game being low scoring. Because I can see both of these offenses sort of struggling. Because both of these teams have been in high scoring games, and both of these teams have been in very low scoring games. The total, out of all the first round games, the total's the lowest. I think it's at like 44, 45, something like
probably that. Something like that.
But there's just so much pressure on Ryan Day right now. This could be
Ryan Day's last job, last day as a head coach of Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very, very reasonable thing.
If they lose another game in front of their home crowd, it's bad news. He's out. Like that's kind of what it is. But like again, you're favored by more than a touchdown. You're favored by more than a touchdown against Michigan. Like this is.
We've seen what happens when the pressure gets to him. I'm going to quote that Oregon game. I know like, Oregon's first in the country, yeah. But what is that last play? I mean, you're running, you're making bonehead decisions when the time comes.
That wasn't necessarily Ryan Day's fault. I think Will Howard fucked up.
Well, no, I'm not talking about Ryan Day. I'm just talking about the team in general. We've seen the pressure get to them. So
that's true.
This could be another situation like that. I don't see it happening. Maybe not this game.
I just got my dad got a McGriddle maker. I'm smelling the bacon right now, and he's like,
yeah, I want a Blackstone baby. So badly.
No, he got like a thing that like you like.
No, no, pour, I know.
Hang, oh my God.
I want, you know, the Blackstones, like the flat sheet.
Yes.
I want one of those so fucking badly. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So anyway, if you're looking for our full predictions, we're Tuesday. Should we go back once a week? Like, what do we?
I don't know. I mean, I'll be home, so we could just.
Yeah. We could rip it in person.
Yeah.
But I feel like YouTube numbers are too high right now. I need clips. I need clips badly.
We can keep going with the clips. It doesn't matter.
I'm bringing that tripod. I'm bringing the fucking.
I'm home on Friday. I'm going to SantaCon in the city on Saturday, but Sunday to. I don't start work till the 18th, so I'm literally doing nothing until the 18th.
Yeah, he literally just sent me a picture of his fucking McGriddle he just made. I smelled the bacon. I was like, he's brewing something up.
McGriddle. Shout out Eddie Donnelly. This is so off topic, but his dad makes fire Big Macs. I've been told a bazillion times.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. We'll have to try him at one point, Stan. Maybe I'll have to ask. Okay. I'll see if we can get to it.
All right. NBA, real quick. Almost an hour into this. Oh, my God. We still got two more topics.
A lot to talk
Jimmy
about.
Butler. Possibly he could be traded. Golden State, Phoenix, Dallas, the top three teams. Houston said that they're not looking to trade for him right now, which I kind of like.
They're on a roll. Why would they?
They're on a roll. And then they did the same thing with Giannis, too. Because, like, if Giannis were to get traded and Houston was a team that sort of needed him, and they're like, no, we like what we have right now. We like what we have with Şengün.
Is legit a mini Jokic. If you watch him play, he's unbelievable. And did OKC have him? How did OKC who had him before?
No one had him. He got drafted by Houston.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure he got traded.
Let me find out. Alfred Şengün. He was
no.
He got drafted by the Thunder, but what trade was he a part of?
Oh, right.
Let's see.
Let's future first out. Round picks in return. A pair.
All right.
Imagine he was they have Chet, obviously, but I'm just saying, that's, come on.
If Şengün was still on the Thunder, iHeart would be a Knick.
Yeah, I mean, then the Celtics wouldn't be talking about like they are right now.
Yeah, that is true. I just think that this is Golden State's trade to make right now.
100%. They're in a little bit of a lull. They need to make a shakeup. And Jimmy Butler's not the number one option on that team anymore. Let's give Tyler Hero his flowers. Yeah. I mean, Tyler Hero's been fantastic.
Yeah. Here's the thing with that. We've noticed that in the offseason, they were trying to make a play on Lauri Markkanen, didn't work. They were trying to make a play on Paul George, didn't work, he went to Philly. I just feel like that they need a guy like him right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
And also, have you noticed that, like, they're playing Kuminga more often? Well, and that, like, Draymond's taking like a step back. Like, is he coming off the bench, Draymond?
He might. I mean, have you heard the reports of what they're trying to plan on doing in the future? Is they believe that Kuminga could be the face of the franchise. So
they're just saying that so they can get Jimmy Butler.
I think so. Like. Listen, Jimmy Butler is the Kevin Durant of DeMar DeRozan's. All right, this guy is elite in the mid range. It's exactly what he is. He is one of the best at that sort of job.
Jonathan Kuminga led the team in minutes last night.
I'm telling you, like, they're slowly integrating, and Steve Kerr came out and said this, they're slowly integrating him in to be the guy, which I don't...
But come on now. Like, come on. Like,
I think they're facing reality. I think they realize this is it.
Steph Curry's 36 years old.
Yeah, this is where we're at.
I feel like the only team where it can go right for Jimmy Butler is Golden State.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if he goes to the Suns, it's going to be a disaster. The Suns are going to overpay for him.
And it's not even – it's the way they play, too. It just doesn't fit with
– On the other hand, like, I don't –
You just signed Klay Thompson. You don't need him.
You just signed – yeah, you don't need him. And then, I mean, Houston, they already bowed out, but, like, I don't
– Now, what does Golden State give up? What does that package look like in return? Because that's kind of where
– Kuminga's definitely has to be – because, honestly – If they get Kuminga Miami, imagine Kuminga under that Heat culture.
Yeah.
They look pretty good.
Yeah. And there's a lot of pressure taken off. You got to imagine.
Not calling title, but like imagine no. if like, yeah, they'd be a formidable six seed.
But I'm saying you're looking at Jonathan Kuminga right now, who I know you're not going to say has all pressure in the weight of the world, but the organization is coming out and saying, believing that this guy is the next man up. That's got to mean something. I mean, that's got to be a lot of pressure on your back. If you're playing 30 minutes a night and they're like, all right, come on, what are you doing? Like. Yeah. Need you to produce more.
Well, I mean,
and mind
we'll
you,
see.
This guy spent another year in the summer league more than they thought he was going to have to because he was not producing well.
He was not doing well
at all.
Yeah. We'll see, but I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. Interesting trade deadline by February. And to the NHL, the big news: the Rangers are running the drama right now. Like they are running the drama.
They almost
of
blew
this
it last
right
night.
Now. They almost actually no.
The Tage goal with 33 seconds left.
Yeah, that definitely was like, Let's start with the Trouba trade because it happened first. I can't even pronounce the name of the guy that we got.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Vaihaikkanen?
I'm not even going to try. I'm worse than you at this.
Finland. Something Finland.
He's Finnish.
Yeah. If I can't pronounce a name,
yeah,
Tim definitely cannot.
No.
So what this means for the Rangers, the Ducks retained all of the salary of Jacob Trouba,
that's all you wanted. That's what you wanted. You didn't care what you were getting
back. Which probably means that they're going to flip him in February for a playoff contender and retain 50% of the salary.
Yeah.
But when it comes to this trade, I mean, just the drama behind it all stems back from July.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then they had that whole issues with the rest of the team hearing that they're trying to move. I heard reports.
The memo.
Yeah.
We're 3-8 since the memo.
Yeah,
like,
and then they had this whole Trouba thing run out. I mean, this is the reports I was
apparently
getting.
Apparently, there was a done deal with Columbus, and he blocked it.
He said
it.
No. And then it dragged on for like 2 weeks. They had all these I heard he had a meeting with the entire front office for a whole week. They just kept having meetings with him. And then he had a one-on-one with Drury. A one-on-one with Laviolette, and then finally,
and then Chris had to be like, "Dude, we're gonna put you on waivers."
Yeah, like this is it. Like we're gonna let you know right now. And then this is the second time this has happened. It doesn't happen very often in the NHL. It happens to the Rangers very often, it seems. But
yeah, third straight captain traded.
Yeah, I just this whole cap and mismanaging of players. People think it's gonna derail anyone from going to the Rangers. No one cares. Like a few guys, veterans. That's it. But
it's just like.
But this, you know what this
it's
means
a business,
for you?
Man.
Exactly.
It's a business.
He's getting overpaid. And you know what this means for you? You re-signed Shesterkin, but that contract doesn't kick until next season. You have $8 million of cap right now. What are you going to do with it?
I'm going to say that. Shout out to the Click King, Larry Brooks. Because right now, this is. So basically, for those who don't know, basically, I've been saying this since we got eliminated by Florida. A white whale of mine has been Brady Tkachuk. And Larry Brooks heard from three different sources, that the Rangers are looking to make a big move come the trade deadline, and it's for Brady Tkachuk, which there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Ottawa's owner throws a fucking hissy fit.
Soft tampering.
Calling out soft tampering. We're interested in a player. How the fuck is that? I can date back to February when Ottawa was looking to trade for Chris Tanev. I could call out soft tampering.
Yeah, no, this is just.
I could call out soft tampering. So
Ottawa's in
a fair game.
If anyone's on
it's a
Ottawa,
fair game.
They're in a fucking spiral. They don't know what the
they're
hell is going on. Hallmark, the thing he's hurt. I mean, it hadn't worked out when he was playing, and clearly they're not winning games. This whole thing that they've been working on with Sanderson or Stutzle, it just isn't working out. So
not working.
But this is how the league works. It's a business. You can talk to guys, make trades. Do I want him to go to the Rangers? Absolutely not. That'd be the last place I want him to go. He's a pain in the ass. I don't want to play against him. I know Isles have.
But they need a guy. But they need a guy like him.
Obviously,
they need a guy like him.
Everyone needs a guy like him. The Rangers also could use a guy like Tom Wilson. Like, you know what I mean? Like this guy's
even
going to get
Patrick Tom Wilson of the Rangers.
I mean, you got rid of Trouba, so
Who knows? But they need, like, they need a guy. They need some, like, our, remember when the
you
fucking...
You need feistiness. You need it.
You need a little fuck you in
there. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, they need a little fuck you. And Brady Tkachuk is the perfect fuck you player.
Yeah. But, okay. And soft tampering aside, obviously. I mean, that deal could still get done. You have $8 million in cap to work with here. I'm hearing reports about terrible things about Mika Zibanejad, by the way. I haven't heard a good thing in a while.
He's been terrible. I mean, he scored yesterday.
Well, I heard a report. I don't know who this came out by. I saw it on NHL Reports, this media platform, that apparently the media gets to Zibanejad so badly that once
he
starts spiraling out of control. And yeah,
Brooks said he's on Chicklets. He's like, he's a sensitive guy.
Yeah, and like, from what I've heard, that sort of derailed.
That ain't going to cut it in this town, pal.
Literally. I've heard a few reports that's sort of deterring teams away from sort of making a move for
him. You're going to make it in this business. What can you do? Boo!
Well, I've heard teams.
Outstanding Seinfeld reference by me.
I've heard reports that's sort of deterring some teams from going on and pursuing him. But are you okay? I mean, obviously you are. But
I would just think I am. Yeah,
you move him and a couple prospects. I mean, I don't know if I don't know if you want to move. No, you're not moving Perreault, but obviously you move some prospects. Yeah, Othman, you add to him. I mean, that could be a possible package. There's just a lot of things you could move, but you get rid of him and you bring in Brady Tkachuk. You don't much just Brady Tkachuk. Say you don't retain any of that salary. You have another like $8-7 million to work with after that. So
we're retaining salary if we get Brady Tkachuk, but.
Obviously, but even at, you say you do retain some, you still have like $5 million to work with. Then you go out and get another defenseman. So there's a lot of moves the Rangers can make right now, which if you're a Ranger fan, I'm excited about. And they beat—I mean, it's Buffalo, but you beat Buffalo last night, so that's something to take away.
You're not the laughingstock of the NHL. Congratulations!
Oh, you want to hear a fun stat about Buffalo? So
yes,
they have chased the goalie, which means if anyone doesn't know what chasing goalie means,
also you can. Get to your point.
So they've chased a goalie. If anyone doesn't know what chasing a goalie means, it means they've had the starter pulled and a backup put in. And the average win rate, I think the NHL percentage-wise, when a teams do that, ends up being, I think it's 91%. This season, Buffalo has chased the goalie 6 times, Stan. They are 2-4 when they've chased the goalie. They have lost 4 games when the other team's goalie has been pulled for the backup. You know how horrible that is?
Yeah, that's bad.
They blew a 5-0 lead in overtime to Colorado the other night. They blew the other night. They blew it was 5-2 lead to the Red Wings in the third period. It's just they're a mess.
Also, did you see? I don't know if it was their owner or general manager in a fuck. He's got to sell, and the fact that he said in his press conference, and like it's a good point to make, but it's like. Yeah, but like this, it doesn't have all the glitz and
make
the glamour.
Make it an attractive place to play by winning hockey games.
But then he goes, look at the Bills. You know, they were nothing until Josh Allen came along. But here's the thing. You had a Josh Allen and Jack Eichel.
And you traded him.
You had Sam Reinhart. You had all these guys. And you fucking traded them, idiot.
Their turnover rate is unbelievable with these guys. I mean, look at everyone they've had they've gotten rid of that's ended up panicking. Ryan O'Reilly won a cup the year they got rid of him.
Ryan O'Reilly, I was just going to mention this.
They're all over the place. So
what the fuck?
I know this is a quick dive into Buffalo, but if you honestly, right now, if you want to talk about the worst organization in all of sports to be a fan, it's the Buffalo Sabres. They haven't made the playoffs in 14 years. They haven't made any progressions. I know last year you're like a point out, but they've seemed to take 4 steps back this year, which is unbelievable to me. So
people were big on them.
Yeah.
And they have a talented team.
Through and through. And I think the key for them really is that they gave, and I was listening to Chicklets and I agree with Paul Bissonnette when he said this, is they gave these guys too much too early. You can't just have a bunch of 22-year-olds playing in a men's
league. Go.
The NHL is a grown man's league, all right? You're getting dudes who are like 35. We're going to beat the shit out of you. What do you think? I'm 21. Well, I'm not going. I don't want to fight Raquel Gudas.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I don't want to do that.
Rangers do have the first wild card spot, but they are very, very behind.
No.
They are 6 points behind.
The Isles behind you still? Or are we one down now?
No, you're down. It's Tampa.
Ugly.
Hey, but you got guys practicing, though.
Yeah, you know, that's good news for Isles fans today. They have Barzal skating with the team, Duclair and Pelech, I do believe, are in non-contact jerseys in full participation. So we have some steps back from injury.
There's hope.
There's a bright side.
There's hope.
It's...
And plus, it's a wide open Eastern Conference.
Yeah, it really is. The Metro... And again, I mean, a shout-out to Jake for talking and giving Capitals their props. Yeah. They've been fantastic.
Yes.
Do I think they could keep this up?
Jake... Time out. Jake has been begging us to do to put up his clip for the Capitals, but his audio was so fucked up that we just couldn't do it. So we're going to tip the cap.
I will say, but I will go back to my point of them. I don't think they hold this. I don't think they can sustain this. I know, obviously, they're a good team, but I just don't. I don't see the depth in the goaltending. They made the moves, but it just, for me, this team doesn't do too much.
Yeah.
This feels like a regular season kind of thing. It's going to open up. It's really going to open up. We'll see what happens. I think Carolina's a shoo-in to win the division right now. I think they win the division. And then that 2-3 for me is who the hell knows? Because the Devils haven't been great on home ice. They've lost a ton on home ice.
Yeah, they have not been good at
home. The Rangers are in a lull right now. Their roster on paper is probably the best or second best in the Eastern Conference. So it's, you can't rule them out.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Isles. I can't even count them in. But we'll see what happens.
Washington as well. Like, they look good.
I know. I don't.
Especially without Ovi, too.
I know.
He's skating.
I think they get that third wild card. I mean, that third division spot. I just don't see them doing anything in the playoffs. I just don't see it happening. It's.
All right.
I don't know. We'll see. Because the thing for me is, like, you can have a lack of star power, but you need elite goaltending. And I just, Lindgren, what? I mean, that's
they
not.
They don't have that.
Yeah. They don't. So.
They don't. Okay. Moving on. What I saw.
I'll start. I remember what mine was, Stan.
Okay, you could go first.
Brett Favre getting grilled by Gasnier.
My God, my God.
That man has dementia, I think. What are we doing?
He's got... I almost feel bad.
What was that?
Like, someone said... I saw a clip on... I don't know what podcast it was. I saw a clip on TikTok on some podcast. I forget what it was, but it's like almost like having like a musician... Like, go out, that's too old. It's like having Frankie Valli fucking come out on stage
literally.
And just, like, barely move his lips. Like, the guy's clearly unwell, number
one. What are you doing? Jets legend, by the way, but what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. One of the greatest Jets of all time.
Also,
but, like,
did you see what Boomer said?
Oh, he's the son of a bitch.
Oh, my
God.
I get it. I get he was an ass when he's playing, but can we have some sort of, like...
They hate him.
I know they do.
They absolutely hate him. There was a tweet that I saw from a guy that works at Barstool, Wayne Jetsky. He said, my dad told me a story about when he was a rookie cop in New York City and a giant strung out man came up to the car demanding a ride. They rolled the window, saw who it was, and had this exchange. Holy shit, are you Mark Gastineau? Yes, I need a ride. No, get the fuck off the car. And people have their opinions on the sack. Because for those who don't know,
he would got it anyway. Who cares?
Well, no, it was the last game of the year. The final minute. Who knows?
But
here's the thing. For those who don't know, Michael Strahan broke Mark Gastineau's sack record. And some people have said for years.
I want my sack back.
That it's a bullshit thing because Brett Favre ran a bootleg and the offensive line sort of just like let Michael Strahan through. And then once Favre saw Strahan, he just laid down and took the sack. Mark Gastineau thinks that this is the reason why he's not in the Hall of Fame. And let's all be honest here. The sack did not become an official stat until 1981. So who knows? Deacon Jones might have that fucking record on lock.
He could have like 50 sacks. Who the hell? We don't know. I mean, we don't know anything. Night Train Lane could have been coming off the edge and had 40 sacks. I don't know.
No, Night Train Lane was a cornerback.
I know, Stan. That's exactly my point. Who the hell knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
He could have been running press coverage and just and
plus anyway,
off the edge.
And plus anyway, officially, TJ Watt has that record.
Yeah, so why is it? It doesn't matter. I get it. He's not well and... But what are you doing?
He is not well.
What are you doing?
His wife had to apologize, Gastineau, to Favre.
I obviously. I mean,
yeah, but like, let's not all...
Favre's a scumbag.
All be like,
no one needs an apology. Oh, yeah. He's a scumbag.
Yeah. Carl Owen said
copper fit my ass.
That big tweet that Favre put out, the thread, Terrell Owens said something hysterical. How do you spell Terrell? Oh, there we go. Terrell Owens. He said, while you're clearing the air, clear the air on the misappropriation of funds.
Just about to say that. What about that volleyball team, huh?
Yeah, come on. Come on now.
What are we doing?
Like, come on.
Two Jets legends, really? Come on, what are we doing?
Yeah. What I saw was Italian guys. Italian guys are back. And Luigi Mangione is...
It's a crazy week.
They love this guy.
Crazy.
People love him.
Crazy.
And it's... Like, I'm kind of falling for it. I'm not going
to
lie.
It was funny for me when there was reports. He was like, he's been known to play assassin games before, like Among Us. And then Among Us was like, what? Like,
what? Like, it's just so funny to me how, like, this guy was just like hiding in plain, not like hiding in plain sight, but like,
how do you get identified first of all at a McDonald's with a fake ID at McDonald's? Who's providing their ID at McDonald's anyway?
Yeah, if someone asks you for your ID at McDonald's, don't give it to them.
Tell them to put the fries in the bag.
This is also a win if you're Luigi Mangione because of your lawyer. I thought, in my honest opinion, when I saw this happen, I was like, and we saw who this guy was and the attention that he was getting, I was like, he better have the most character of a lawyer ever. And if he says something to the media, like the first thing that he's going to say to the media is going to be like, it's going to tell the whole story. If he's going to plead out, if he's just going to take the sentence, or is it going to go to trial? As soon as the lawyer said, my client is pleading not guilty because I do not see anything against him, I was like, we're getting a show.
Yeah.
This is going to get OJ coverage. I'm telling you right now.
Well, and you know what? I've been loving this lawyer going crazy media thing. If anyone who hasn't been following the Young Thug trial, Brian Steele is a maniac. This guy had to go to prison, spend weekends in prison. So he decided to go in Thug's cell and spend it with him so they could work on the case. But he didn't give a fuck. He was like, I'm backing him in court. I don't give a fuck. So I love it.
Oh my God.
But the GoFundMe is a little ridiculous. I mean, come on. What are we doing? I love comments, too. One of them was like, I know this is going to put me on a list, but I have to donate for my grandfather. I'm like, all right, do it.
But it's funny because, like, can you just, like, imagine? Mangione is going to turn into someone, like if he gets off. I don't think he will.
He's the next giant quarterback.
No, he's a lock to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Like, he gets out of that's crazy.
I know. The best tweet that I saw, though, Tim, and I feel like you'd appreciate this. Wait, I didn't send it. Here we go. Where is it? Oh, here we go. Luigi Mangione is the name of a random relief pitcher the Wilpon Mets would throw out there in a July afternoon game. And it's true.
That's exactly what it would be, yeah. It'd be like, we're down 7-0 in the fifth, and we're like, all right, we got to pull someone. So
let's... Coming into the game, number 57, Luigi Mangione.
Recently called up from AAA, Binghamton.
No way. Like, I just can't believe that. Like, I'm... This is just like, it's absurd.
The news is nuts.
How much people love him. I don't know.
Yeah.
See that new Elton John documentary? I'm interested in it.
I did not see that. I saw Timothy Chalamet go nuts at talking about Jackson State football.
Hey, this guy, people need to remember Timothy Chalamet won the
Landry Fields picture
contest. Won the Landry Fields picture contest and got free tickets to a game. This is the same Tim Chalamet that waited outside a Broadway show to get Amari Stoudemire to sign his jersey.
Oh, yeah.
This is
a real sports guy. And the funny thing for me, too, because now we're just talking about Landry Fields. Landry Fields having a picture contest, the lockout completely ruined that guy. I mean, he had like one good year. One.
He's the GM of the Hawks now.
Great. I just remember him coming back from the lockout looking like a fucking Hulk after his scrawny little regular whatever season, and then he can't shoot the three anymore because his arms are too big. So shout out Landry Fields for ruining your own career.
Yeah. Way to go, Dolan.
Another Dolan masterclass.
Another Dolan masterclass, right? All right. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. I got to remember that I retired Twitter for the podcast just because I got to cancel that fucking subscription.
Do it.
Twitter Blue. Oh my God. I didn't even realize that.
I just canceled an NYT subscription from like months ago that I tried to cancel over the phone, and they put me on hold for 20 minutes the first time I called. So I was like, you gotta be fucking with me, right? So I went
online. They're the worst.
I went online and I like
waited.
They're
the worst.
Yeah.
They're the worst.
The worst.
Be sure to like this video on YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube, leave a comment on our videos. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
Five
stars only. And we will see you guys on
Tuesday? Monday?
Tuesday.
Monday,
yeah,
Tuesday,
screw it.
We'll figure out
Monday
a day.
Monday or Tuesday. We'll figure it out.
Maybe even Wednesday. All right. We'll see.
Probably going to be in person. So that's big.
In person.
That's big. All right. Peace out, guys.